We're here as part of Jesus Church, gathering together for the first time in 2019. That's pretty cool. 2018 is behind us, certainly never to be forgotten. And 2019 lies before us. I mean, you know, we still do things the same way we did last week, right? Like, we still do things the same way. We still get dressed the same way. We look in the mirror and, whoa, you know, and then we fix things up. We still do things the same way we did last week. There's not really a physical or tangible difference that we see other than trying to write 2019. Yeah, that's just, you know, that is probably one of the biggest adjustments in a new year, is just trying to write the right date on whatever it is you're writing on. But there's also a symbolic difference, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but there's a symbolic difference, perhaps a fresh-mindedness that we approach the new year with, a fresh mindset. Some of you, bless you, may have made resolutions for this new year. Most people have given up like years ago when they still have their 2015 ones. They're trying to get through. But some of you may have made resolutions for this new year, and you've determined to do certain things or to become a better you. There's this blank page before us, as they say, and we've already begun writing the story for 2019. In who knows what lies ahead. And maybe as we walk through 2019, whether we've made resolutions or not, maybe we could resolve together, whether you've made it or not, whether you do them, maybe we could resolve together to simply know God better. Maybe we could resolve together just to simply know God better. We could resolve to walk closer with Him. We could resolve to grow in what the Bible calls the fullness of God, in the understanding of what it means to have Jesus dwell or to live in us, to live in us by His Spirit. I think that's a good resolution. I think that's a good resolution, and I hope that you agree with me, other than Bill. I know Bill agrees, but I trust that, you know, that others do as well. There are some, and thank you, Bill. Thank you. Was it? Well, amen, brother. Let's make it all of ours. There are some verses I'd like to consider with you today that we find in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, in this book, the Apostle Paul wrote in the first few chapters. We're going to jump in halfway here just today and look at some verses. But in this book, the Apostle Paul wrote in the first few chapters, he writes about what God's done for people. He talks about the fact that God has given us spiritual blessings. He talks about the fact that we've been made alive in Christ, that He's given people peace with God. He's included the Jews and the Gentiles together in a covenant relationship with Himself. And before Paul goes on to encourage the church in the second half of Ephesians, those second half chapters, before he goes on to encourage the church in some practical ways and issues, he lets the Ephesian church folks and us know how he prays for us. How he prays for us. And we see that his hope, his prayer, is that we, God's people, might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's check out those verses together. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. He writes, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." For this reason means all the stuff he's just talked about. And I said that about blessings, about, you know, being reconciled and all those things, about being made alive in Christ. He says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Don't forget that phrase. We're going to come back to that a little bit later. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love." Is that a familiar verse to you guys? Do you remember when we had the big rooted thing hanging here? And Carrie did such an awesome job in making it grow, even though it wasn't alive, grow each week. And we talked about that. So he says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Whoa. And then he goes on to say, and you know these verses, don't you? "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine in 2019, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Powerful, awesome verses in Scripture. The fullness of God, that sounds pretty intense. That sounds pretty lofty. I mean, what does it even mean? Why is it so valuable? How do we get it? These are some of the questions I think that we need to answer in order to walk in the fullness of God in 2019, and to quote Buzz Lightyear, and beyond. In 2019 and beyond. This year, our hope is for us together to walk in, to have, to embrace, to grow in this fullness that Paul talks about. And we're going to work on that together on Sundays. We'll work on that through the series of messages that we consider together through 2019, learning and training so that we might embrace the fullness of God in our individual lives and the life of His church here in this place. And so we say this morning, what is the fullness of God? What is the fullness of God? Let me just pause. God, this is kind of crazy stuff, some of this, understanding this. And so I pray you'd open our minds to understanding what it is you want to tell us today. And you might not have the exact same thing for every one of us. And so I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would minister your word to our hearts as you will today. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the fullness of God? Well, the fullness of God is about more than us just having one experience. It's about more than just one experience or one aspect of God's truth or His power. The fullness of God points to a fuller, spiritually balanced life involving all that God is and offers to us. In the original language of these verses, the word for fullness means a full number or a full complement or a full measure. Or don't you love these next words? Copiousness. What an awesome word. Plenitude. You just don't use these words every day, so it's fun to say them. That which has been completed. That's what fullness means. The words that are used in describing fullness, that's some of the ideas that word encompasses. It's the idea of a ship that's full of cargo and a crew. It's the idea of a town with no empty houses. It strongly emphasizes fullness and completion. You know, when you go to a restaurant or a place of business, a lot of times they have signs somewhere that show the maximum capacity of that particular building, meaning that when that building reaches that number or amount of people or has gone over that number, it's full. If you try to get tickets to a concert or a sporting event on the day of the concert or event, you're in all likelihood going to find that it's sold out, which means that there are no more seats or tickets available because the arena or event is full. Patty and I were walking on New Year's Day past the Scotiabank Center, formerly known as the ACC, and people were lined up for a Raptors game. And I said, "You wanna go to a game?" And we decided together not to. We were right there, but we decided that we didn't feel like it at that time. Well, I did turn the TV on in the hotel room and saw a little bit of the game, and just a little bit. And they said, sold out, sold out. the whole thing was sold out. So I don't know whether we've got a ticket or not. It was these guys on the street wanting to buy tickets off us. Wait a minute, no. They were wanting to sell tickets, but it was sold out. And so, you know, if you try and get a ticket generally on that day, it's this idea of fullness is that it's sold out. You know, when a hotel sign has a sign lit up that says no vacancy, when that sign's lit up, it means the hotel is full or occupied. When the building of your life, when the building of your life has reached maximum capacity, when every seat in the arena of your life is occupied by God, when there's no vacancy for the enemy or things that oppose God, you're full of Him. You're full of Him. I wanted to call the title of the sermon Full of It and talk about you being full of it, but it carries other connotations, and so I didn't. But I still said it. See, the person who's filled up with the fullness of God will want what God wants, and there won't be conflict with that. The person who's filled with the fullness of God will show Jesus through their life. They'll love after Jesus' example. They will walk after Jesus' example. In 1 John 2:6, it says, whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. Now, we're not Jesus, but we live after His example. We fashion our lives, our walk, after His example. And as you come to experience more and more the fullness of God, you will live more and more like Jesus did. When you grow in understanding of who Jesus is and what He does, you will more and more recognize God's fullness. Paul says in our verses, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Cool word, this word dwell. The word that Paul uses for dwell is an interesting one. It's a word which means to occupy a house. To occupy a house. So Paul's not suggesting that Jesus just kind of come and hang out with us. He's not praying for the church to have an occasional really good Sunday morning with Jesus that makes us feel really warm and really fuzzy and reinforces our belief that someday we will get to be with Him in heaven. His prayer is that the living Jesus will take up residency, will dwell, will live in the home of your heart today. He's saying the Lord wants to get in there and shake things up and clean things up and stay there. Paul's praying that Jesus will be so deep down in you that when trouble or temptations come, that you will be strong in Him. He's praying that your character will be formed by Jesus in you. He's praying that your actions will be motivated by Jesus in you. He's praying that you will be rooted and established in love, able to grasp together with all the others in whom Jesus dwells, how wide and long and high and deep His love is. He's praying that His Spirit in you will fill you to the full measure of all the fullness of God. What then happens? Or when that happens, Jesus and living for Him no longer feels like a burden. You'd say, oh, that's not... Well, I'm saying, when that happens, Jesus and living for Him is no longer your burden, it's your life. No longer do you have to put on appearances. No longer do you have to fear evil. No longer do you have to keep trying to earn your way to God or heaven like every other religion in the world, because He is with you, He is in you. Folks, that's living on a whole other level. And so what are some practical things that we can do to recognize God's fullness? What are some practical things maybe that we can do to recognize His fullness? I would suggest to you today that we need to discover His will. God's word is His will. When you read God's word, you become aware of His fullness that lives in you. You find yourself in Him and find Him in you. There are some verses that talk about it, and I think I've listed them up here. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. God leads us by His word, and He'll lead us into His fullness by His word as well. In Him we live and move and have our being. In the fullness of God, we make every move in Him because we become more aware of His presence. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In the fullness of God, we have authority over sin because we have life in Jesus. And then 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us that as Christ followers, we have the mind of Christ. What? We have the mind of Christ? In the fullness of God, we have the mind of Christ. That means that we can know the things we're supposed to know and the things that we're supposed to do. Another way that we can practically recognize God's fullness is to learn about the Holy Spirit. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul writes to the Ephesians a little bit later in the book in chapter 5, and he says, don't be drunk with wine. I'm going to say it right here. He doesn't say don't drink wine. He says, don't be drunk with wine. New Living Translation says, because that'll ruin your life. NIV says, do not be drunk with wine that leads to debauchery. Another big word. Sort of the sensual pleasures. Therefore, I urge, or don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Another practical thing we can do as we discover the fullness of God and walk into that is to be an active worshiper of God. Be an active worshiper of God. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You see, worship is that place where we hunger after God's fullness. You may never be more aware of God's fullness in your life than when you're offering yourself to Him in worship. A guy named Tommy Tenney, cool name. He's a Christian author. He says this. This is one of his quotes. God will leave our meetings full and satisfied only when we begin to leave them feeling hungrier for Him than when we first came. God will leave our meetings full and satisfied only when we begin to leave them feeling hungrier for Him than when we first came. So there are just a few of the things we can do to recognize and grow toward and experience the fullness of God, discover His will, learn about the Holy Spirit, be active worshipers. It seems also that the Apostle Paul is telling us that in all of this, when we come to understand and experience and grow in knowing God's love, we will understand, experience, and know His fullness. Interesting verses. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp, something to be grasped, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that surpasses my understanding, so that, all of that stuff, understanding His love, all of that, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. As you, get to know and experience and understand God's love for us more and more, we will know, experience, and understand what it means to be filled with the fullness of God. The Bible tells me that God loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son to pay with His life the penalty for our sins so that we could have a relationship with Him and that we would have the promise of heaven and eternity with Him. The Bible also tells me that God loved us before we even cared about Him, before we even thought about Him. He loved us. And I think when we continue to learn about and to appreciate and to be thankful for His love, it can't help but draw us into experiencing the fullness of God in our lives, no matter what we're going through. I just want to notice one other aspect of fullness with you this morning. Again, in the original language of our verses today, it's found in the idea of the fullness. It's found in the idea of completion. I think I mentioned that in the beginning slide. It's found in the idea of completion. It signifies something that's finished, something that's fully carried out. Not just that. There's a process. We are being filled with the fullness of God. But there's also that idea that it's finished, that it's carried out. Philippians 1:6, though, says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." That's the New Living Translation, the first one. The second one, the New International Version, says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." The day that God drew you to himself by his Spirit, and you made the choice to accept him as your Savior, he began something great in you. He began to change you. He began to transform you, and he hasn't stopped doing that. God is still working on you and me and developing us. He's still filling us up and completing the work that he started in us. And he won't give up on us. He'll keep working on us until the job is finished. I think part of what God wants from us is just to give him the possibilities of our lives, to give him the possibilities and dreams of our lives, and let him build on them, let him build in them, and let him build through them. And so this morning, I would invite you to consider yourself invited on the journey this year to know, to grow, and to experience the fullness of God in your life, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And if you're here today and you haven't yet made that choice to let God in by inviting Jesus into your life, you can do that today. What a great day that would be, to do that. Just to simply invite Jesus into your life. What a great way to start this new year of 2019. It's as simple as just sitting right where you are and saying, "God, I recognize that I've sinned. I recognize that I'm a sinner. And I need your forgiveness. Please forgive me. Jesus, please come into my life. Guide my life, direct my life, teach me by your Holy Spirit." Words that are something like that. They don't even have to be complicated. They can just be, "God, forgive me. Come into my life." And he's faithful to do that. And we can begin to learn and to grow in and to experience the fullness of God. I think it's an awesome resolution for 2019. For all of us together to grow in the fullness of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. When we start reading it, it's mind-blowing in places when we see that you want to fill us with your fullness. You want to even have anything to do with us as you look at this world and you look at, Lord, we all mess up. And yet you still want to use us. You still want to work in us. You still want to fill us. You still want to bless us. You still want us to be part of what you're doing. And I thank you for that. Lord, I pray you'd help us to know more and more this year what it means to walk in, to grow in, to experience your fullness in our lives. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know you, who hasn't done that, who hasn't come to that place of submitting to you and inviting you in, that, Father, they'd do it even this morning if they haven't already. But Father, just thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the promise that you walk with us. Thank you for the promise that even though we may physically be alone, we are not alone because we are in you and you are with us. Thank you. In Jesus' name.